We've been blessed this Epiphany to have walked a long journey. We have followed the star in wonder with the Magi. We saw the heavens torn apart as Jesus came out of the waters at his baptism. And we were invited to come and see what journeying with Jesus might be all about. Here we are now, at the next steps in our journey. Hear now the words of Mark, chapter 1, 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my psychology professors, Dr. Brian Dick, does research on callings. He tells two very different stories of people finding their callings. One is of a police officer named Roger. Now Roger, as my professor tells it, was a good police officer. He enjoyed his work. He was next in line to become chief of police. But one day, Roger was sitting there drinking his coffee, and he heard a voice, plain as day, saying, "Roger, I want you to be a pastor." The voice proceeded to give him five people to talk to, and then went quiet. Now, we are sitting in a church, and many of us are aware of the still, small voice of God in the many wonders of life. But I would bet that not many of us has heard a voice like that telling us exactly what to do. Roger spoke to his wife, and she didn't tell him he was crazy. She affirmed this calling. Roger went to speak to these five other people, one of whom was a pastor, and he got some advice on how to go about following this calling. I imagine that day on the beach with Jesus was pretty similar to Roger's experience. Jesus is there and speaks to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me," and they go immediately. It's a bit unbelievable. They drop everything and go. They had this occupation before that hopefully paid the bills, and they were probably good at. And they just dropped everything and went because Jesus tells them to. Like Roger's story, we don't really know the before. We assume they knew about Jesus. They heard the rumors. But what makes them go? And what about the others who didn't go? How are they impacted? The second story that my professor tells is one of Maggie. We all know someone like Maggie. Maggie is an environmental technician in a hospital, a custodian or housekeeper, in other words. But to her, the job is much more than mopping the floor. Whenever Maggie goes into a room, she introduces herself. She takes time to talk with people and to listen to them. When doctors have bad news to deliver, they call Maggie into the room to play with the children. To Maggie, the relationship is the single most important part of her job. Dr. Dick, my professor, says that Maggie helps people heal. Maggie wasn't called away from her job. She didn't receive a voice from the sky. She is transformed and transforming people within the everyday. So what is it like to answer this calling to follow Jesus? It's this next step along the journey that we are taking in the path of Epiphany. We've followed the Magi to see the Christ child, this light of the world. We listened as John the Baptist lowered Jesus under the waters, and the sky literally tore open. We were invited last week to come and see. So here's the next step. It's a calling, a gift, to come forward, to be transformed, and to transform those around us. This is Kingdom of God stuff. In our worship and wonder story, the people did not understand, and Jesus shows them the way of the Kingdom of God. In simple terms, Jesus shows the way of the Kingdom of God by healing, by taking time with those that society and the powerful have forgotten: children, women, the sick, the hungry, the lost, the broken. He turns the world upside down. The Gospel of Mark is full of words like follow, immediately, and kingdom. There is an urgency to the works of Jesus. And even when the disciples follow, there are so many times when they still don't quite get it. Mark makes it seem easy at first, this following Jesus stuff, by saying they immediately left their nets and went. But we know that it is more complex. Whether we are more like Roger, the police officer turned pastor, or Maggie, the environmental technician, following this call to be transformed and to transform others is hard. There are bumps along the road. We mess up. We get discouraged. We don't get it sometimes. We don't really hear what this Jesus guy is really trying to say. We don't understand what this kingdom stuff is. And then something happens. We make a connection. Someone sees that divine spark in us that God calls beloved. We see someone else's spark and remind them of their own belovedness. Brené Brown might call that moment empathy, that moment in time where one person goes down into the dark pit that another person is enduring and says, "I am here for you because I've been here myself." I think it's more than that. I think it is a holy ground, that moment when the kingdom of God is felt and recognized in a space between two people, and healing starts to happen. Last year was particularly difficult, and I found myself seeking good news. I was so tired of the constant bombardment of bad news that I needed to hear good things. Like the woman who ran out of gas, a man who was homeless gave her his last $20. She was so grateful that she kept going back to him with first money, then food, and eventually she started a GoFundMe account. She raised enough money for a place to live, a vehicle, and found resources to help him. Both of them were transformed out of this experience. Or the beekeepers, who lost $60,000 worth of hives from vandalism. Other beekeepers raised enough to get them back on their feet this spring. Bees are not insurable. Now the beekeepers are helping raise funds for other beekeepers who have lost hives in the California fires and other places. They've also caught the teens who vandalized the hives, and the beekeeping community is hopeful that instead of the proposed jail time, the teens can instead learn about beekeeping and become ambassadors for the beekeeping community. More transformation. Or the high schoolers, who decided that no one at their high school would ever dine alone. Dennis, a Haitian immigrant, began a program called We Dine Together. In his school, no one is lonely during lunch. Football players would rather be widening tables than being approached with scholarships. They recognized that a small act of eating together defeats loneliness. Dennis has now graduated and is working on helping this program start in all 50 states. Those students are going to be transformed for the rest of their lives because someone ate lunch with them and recognized a place inside of them that many of us have experienced. That lunchroom is holy ground. We know how Peter and Andrew and James and John answered Jesus' call to follow him. We know their lives were transformed in amazing ways, and they transformed other lives on their own paths. I'm wondering about the others who didn't follow immediately, but who were there that day. Were they also transformed? Were they called to follow in a different way? Maybe they became like Maggie, answering their calling within the ordinary, everyday life. How do we answer this call of Jesus to follow me? The poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost, is well known. It starts off, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. The traveler takes the path less traveled." Many of us have been taught that that was the whole point of the poem, take the harder, less traveled path. Instead, if we reread the poem, we see that both paths are fair, both paths are equal. Like this calling, it isn't how we respond, whether we drop everything immediately like Roger the police officer and the disciples, or whether we respond like Maggie the environmental technician, or the beekeepers, or Dennis, or the man who gave his last $20. It is that we choose to follow. It isn't which path in the poem. It is the fact that we choose a path to follow. We are bound to be transformed either way. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Follow me, and I will show you the way of the kingdom of God. Follow me, and you will be transformed. Follow me.